Nagpa-test ka na ba? Interestingly, sa panahon natin ngayon, when you are asked by that question, alam po natin ang kahulugan po nito. We know what that means. Lalong-lalo na kung sa kalagitnaan ng inyong conversation, nabanggit mo na masama na ang pakiramdam mo mga ilang araw na. Alam po natin ang ibig sabihin ng tanong na ito. The person is asking kung nagpa-test na ba kayo for COVID-19. At tama lang po na itanong po ito. It's important to know if we have the virus. Not knowing could be lethal. It could be lethal sa atin at sa mga minamahal natin sa buhay. Going through the test and knowing its results will help us to know the truth and how we can respond accordingly. We are continuing our sermon series of 1 John, that we may know, or that you may know. John gives series of tests at saka marks for us to know kung tayo nga ba ay tunay na mananampalataya, kung tayo nga ba ay tunay na Kristiyano, kung tayo ba ay may tunay na buhay na walang hanggan. So itong mga tests na ito is designed all throughout the letter for us to know. Kasi not knowing is lethal. Not knowing that you're a Christian is lethal to you and to the congregation. To you, kasi po, we can assume that we are Christian, pero totoo niyan, hindi pala. Danger sa congregation, why? Because lalo na if you're in leadership position. If we do not know that we are Christians. That's why John gives series of tests. Three types of tests na makikita natin pabalik-balik, paulit-ulit sa liham na ito. Una, yung tinatawag na theological test. The theological test asks the question, do you have faith in the Son of God? That He is the God-man, the incarnated Son of God. Pangalawang test, the moral test. Are you obedient to the commands of God? And the third test, yung tinatawag na social test. Do you have love for the people of God? Last week, we saw that holiness is one of the tests or mark or marka that one is a true child of God. Ngayong araw po na ito, we will see that love for God's people is another test to know kung ikaw isang tunay na Kristiyano. The love for God's people or the love for the local church. Kagaya ng nabanggit po natin last week, bilang mga anak ng Diyos, dapat makita ang resemblance ng Diyos sa atin. Since Siya ang ating Diyos Ama. And if we are to resemble our Heavenly Father, we must love God's people. God Himself, out of love for His people, sent His Son to die for His people's sins. That is why those who believe in God's Son, Jesus, love God's people, the church. Those who believe in God's Son, Jesus, love God's people, the church. We have only 2 points ngayong araw na ito. Number one, and these are all in question forms. How do we love one another? Verses 11 hanggang 18. Number two, how do we know that we have loved in action and in truth? Verses 19 to 24. So technically, it's just 2 questions. How do we do it? And how do we know that we're doing it? Number one, how do we love one another? Last week, we've ended sa verse 10. At sa verse 10 po, John mentioned na kapag wala tayong pag-ibig o wala tayong pagmamahal sa mga kapatiran sa Panginoon, ito isang palatandaan na marahil na hindi ka Kristiyano. Hindi po galing sa atin yan. Galing po yan sa verse 10 ng 1 John chapter 3. Ang passage natin ngayon ipapakita sa atin kung ano ang itsura nito. Ano ba itsura yung pagmamahalan? Ano ba itsura ng pag-ibig o pagmamahal sa anak ng Diyos o mga kapatiran? Ito ay practical application ng verse 10 and inulit niya ito sa verse 11. Tingnan niyo pa yung verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Now let me help us understand here, one another is not just everybody. Okay? Of course, God wants us to love everybody, but there's a special type of love that God wants us to give. And yun is sa kanyang household, which is the church. Again, when we say church, if you're visiting, church is not the building. Church is the people who have been regenerated, congregated in one place. We are the church, those na niligtas ng Panginoon. Pinapaalalahanan ni John na mula nung nadinig nila ang gospel proclamation, ang pinaka-theme o tema ng Kristyanismo is pagmamahalan o pagmamahal. Pagmamahal sa Diyos at pagmamahal sa kapatiran. Bago niya nilarawan kung anong itsura ng Christian love na ito, pinakita niya muna kung anong hindi ito itsura. Or he first described what it is not. And we see that in verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. John used Cain, so Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 to 9, as an example of what Christianity is not, of what a Christian is not, hindi itong itsura ng hindi tunay na Kristiyano. Si Cain ay panganay na anak, sa mga hindi nakakaalam, ni Adam and Eve, yung kauna-unahang tao sa mundo. At meron po siyang kapatid na mas bata sa kanya, pangalan niya ay si Abel or Abel. One day, they both offered sacrifices or offerings sa Panginoon. And Abel's sacrifice or offering ay katanggap-tanggap sa Panginoon. God received Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering. Hindi nabanggit sa ating kung ano ang tamang guidelines para sa isang acceptable na offering noong time na yon. We don't know. But we can see sa conversation ng Panginoon and ni Cain na yung offering na hinandog ni Cain was not righteous. Makikita niyo po yan sa Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well or if you do right," sa original na translation, "will you not be accepted?" So sa passage na ito, pinakita na alam ni Cain what was right. Pero hindi niya po ginawa. Gaya natin, Cain was a worshiper. He worshiped God by bringing an offering to Him. Ngunit nireject ito ng Panginoon, nireject ng Panginoon ang kanyang handog because it was not right and pleasing sa harapan ng Diyos. Hindi ito katanggap-tanggap sa kanya. Maring para kay Cain, parang kay Cain, katanggap-tanggap yung binigay niyang kaloob para sa kanya. He might felt good about it. He gave it with full conviction na okay ito, ngunit hindi ito ayon sa kagustuhan ng Diyos. Nagbigay siya ng kaloob ayon sa kanyang kagustuhan, ayon sa kanyang standard, hindi ayon sa standard ng Panginoon. Hindi tama ang puso niya. Ginawa lang niya ito for the sake of doing it. Ginawa niya ito para sa kanyang sariling pakinabanganan. Makita po niya sa Jude 11. Hindi lamang isang beses ginawa ng Panginoon ito sa mga nananampalataya sa kanya sa Bible. Ayon sa Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is how the Lord addressed a group of people who is worshiping Him. Out of hypocrisy, sabi ng Panginoon, "This people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. And their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." Ganon din ang binigay na instructions ni Jesus Christ sa Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 to 9, nung kinonfront niya ang mga Pharisees who were trying to worship God ng maling motibo. Ganon pa man ang halimbawa ni Cain ay dapat magsilbing babala o warning sa ating mga worshipers ngayong umaga na ito. Now, when we come to church, hindi po tayo umaattend for the sake of attendance. Wala po nagtitake na attendance dito. O dahil sa nakasanayan lang, kaya kailangan ko pumunta ng church. O out of guilt. Or we don't go to church kasi nakakahiya naman kay pastor. Kahiyaan na lang. Nakakahiya kay brother, ilang beses na nangangamusta. Nakakahiya kay sister. Hindi po yun ang dahilan. Wala po nag-a-attendance. O may mga taong, maaaring pupunta ka, may mga tao dito na medyo interesado ka makita o makilala. O maaaring pumupunta ho tayo dahil sa ating mga barkadaan. Now, hindi ho mga mali. Hindi lang siya primary, hindi lang siya yung main reason dapat tayo pumupunta sa church. Di kaya tayo pumupunta sa iglesia na ito dahil sa sarili nating kapakinabanganan at walang kapakialamanan sa ibang kapatiran? Kailangan natin tunay na mahalin at paglingkuran ng Diyos. At para mangyari ito, dapat natin mahalin ang kapatid natin sa Panginoon. Specifically, loving God's people sa local church na kung saan ka nilagay ng Panginoon, kung saan ka nag-covenant. Si Cain ay hindi lamang false worshiper. He also lacks faith in God. Pagkatapos kumprontahin ng Panginoon si Cain, sabi sa Genesis chapter 4 verse 8, pinaslang niya ang kanyang kapatid na si Abel, dahil sa selos. Kasi alam niya na yung ginawa ng kapatid niya ay righteous at ang ginawa naman niya ay evil or unrighteous. He hated Abel. God confronts Cain for the second time at sa halip na magpakumbaba, magsisi sa kanyang kasalanan, humingi ng tawad sa Panginoon at sumagpasakop sa kanyang kalooban. Ano ang kanyang ginawa? Nagalit, galit, pabalang at marahas niyang sinagot ang Panginoon. Yun po ang ginawa niya. He hated Abel. He hated God. He hated God's will. Definitely, he hated God's people. Wala siyang naramdaman na kalungkutan o pagsisisi sa ginawa niyang kasalanan. Pagkatapos siyang kumprontay ng Panginoon, he became defensive. He felt guilty. And because he felt guilty, he did not like it. He did not like it. Mga kaibigan, muli nakikita natin dalawa pang tanda na ang isang individual ay hindi mananampalataya sa Panginoon. Una, kung wala tayong nararamdaman na kalungkutan sa kasalanan, walang pagpapakumbaba at walang interes magbago dahil sa tingin natin tama ang ating ginagawa, walang pwedeng mag-correct sa atin. At kapag may nagkumpronta sa atin, hindi makita ang humility. Kung hindi, laging defensive at sinasabing, ikaw ang mali, kayong lahat ang mali, ako ang tama. That's one sign na marahil wala ang Panginoon sa puso mo. Pangalawa, kung tayo ay walang pagmamahal sa mga anak ng Diyos, o sa kanyang iglesia, walang concern, walang pag-aaruga, walang pakialaman, walang pakialam sa kanilang mga buhay, at kinamumunghian ang mga anak ng Diyos. Mga kaibigan, kung kinamumunghian mo ang mga anak ng Diyos, then kinamumunghian mo ang Diyos. Dahil pinadala niya ang kanyang anak para sa mga anak ng Diyos. Kung mapapansin po natin, John masterfully builds up his argument by using using an Old Testament character na si Cain. Okay? He strengthens his case. And for one reason, kasi yung false prophets po dito, they don't really care about God's people. They don't care about the church. They only care about themselves. Yung po sila. The false teachers hated the truth about Jesus was God incarnate. Hindi sila naniniwala. Ayaw nila yung katuruan na si Jesus ay ang anak ng Diyos na nagkatawan tao. That Christians are sinless. Yun ang kanilang paniniwala. Sinless ang mga Christian. Hindi naman pwede magkasala. Ba't sinasabi mo nagkakasala pa rin? Ayaw nila yung katuruan na yun. Sinasabi nila ang mga Christians ay sinless na. That they need to walk in holiness. Ayaw nila yun. Gusto nila enlightenment. And ayaw nila isasabihin mo kailangan mo mahalin ang iglesia ng Panginoon. Verse 13, do not be surprised that the world hates you. Verse 14, whoever does not love abides in death. It's clear, mga kaibigan, kung walang pagmamahal sa kapatid sa Panginoon, wala siguro ang pagmamahal ng Panginoon sa kanyang puso. Marahil siguro wala siyang relasyon sa Diyos. He even said in verse 15 that those who hated his brother ay mamamatay tao and will face eternal judgment. He was just echoing Jesus when Jesus said that in Matthew 5. 21 to 22. Isn't that interesting? If ikaw ay may puot, galit, at walang kapatawaran sa puso mo, sa kapatiran mo, ikay pumapatay na rin. Yun ang katumbas niya sa harapan ng Diyos. Mga kaibigan, meron ka bang kapatiran sa Panginoon na kinamumunghian dito sa iglesia na ito ngayong oras na ito at hindi mo mapatawad? O marahil, nakagawa ka ng pagkakamali at ayaw mo humingi ng tawad. Kung meron hong puot o galit o pagkamunghi sa kapatiran sa Panginoon, ito po ay hindi kalugod-lugod sa harapan ng Diyos. Ito ay nagsasabi ikaw ay pumapatay. Ito ay nagsasabing anak ka ni Cain. O kaya naman ay dahil sila ay malaki ang pagkakaiba sa iyo. Malaki ang pagkakaiba ninyo sa pag-uugali, sa upbringing, kulay ng balat, porma, rehiyon, o trabaho, edukasyon, kaya hindi mo sila pinakikitunguan. Hindi rin tama yun, mga kaibigan. Kung tayo ay anak ng Diyos, lahat tayo iniligtas sa iba't ibang panahon ay tinipon. Dapat po natin engage ang mga kapatiran sa Panginoon kahit magkaiba, kahit malaki ang pagkakaiba sa atin. Pagkatapos ni John ipakita what is not a Christian, he now shows us kung ano itsura ng tunay na anak ng Diyos. Contrary kay Cain, John tells in verse 14 na ang marka ng isang tunay na may buhay na walang hanggan ay ang may pagmamahalan sa kapatiran. Kanina, he used Cain as an example. Now, he uses Christ as an example. Verse 16, by this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Ang dahilan kung bakit ang anak ng Diyos ay bumaba sa kanyang kaharian, bumaba sa kalangitan, left the praises of myriads and myriads of angels, took a form of a slave, lived with them, and willingly died on the cross for our sins. It's because of love. It's because of God's love towards His people. It is the love of the triune God that God the Father sends the Son to die on that cross. It was for love that He was beaten, spat on, slapped, crowned with thorns, nilatigo. It is because of love. He died for our sins that we might have life. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And how did Jesus serve us? To give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus served us by dying on the cross to redeem us. Jesus sacrificially loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were rebels. He loved us when we were slaves to sin and Satan. God loved us when while we were still His enemies. Friends, Jesus died and on the third day has risen from the grave. This is love. Repent from your sins of loving yourself too much. Centering your life sa sarili mo lang. Turn away and trust Jesus Christ at yung ginawa niya sa cross. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, and if you believe this, you shall have eternal life. You shall have a relationship with God the Father. Not by religion, not by good works, kasi kulang yung mga yon. It is only through the finished work of Christ on the cross that we are saved. Jesus sacrificially loved us when we were not loving Him back. Mga kaibigan, this is the true definition of love. Sacrificially putting our others before ourselves. Inuuna ang kapakanan ng iba bago ang sa atin. This love is sacrificial. This love is not from this world. Kasi ang mundo, minahal kita, balikan mo ng doble at higit. This love is supernatural. Kasi nakabase ito sa supernatural God who supernaturally saved us and now supernaturally transforming us to become like Jesus Christ so that we could love like Jesus Christ. It is a love that is supernatural kasi it's unnatural to love your enemies and sacrifice for them. It is unnatural to put others' needs before yourselves kasi unahin natin ang sarili natin. It is unnatural to forgive those who have sinned against us. It's unnatural. That's why you need a supernatural God to turn your heart of stone to a heart of flesh. You can pretend to love people, pero may hangganan yan. If you do not have the love of Christ, may expiry date po yan. Friends, this is the type of love that we are to exemplify as a church dito sa crossroads. Rather than focusing on ourselves, our own needs, our own desires, our own wants, we focus on others. We come to church not to be served, but to serve. And you know what that means? You know what it means to serve, mga kapatid sa Panginoon? It means dying to yourself. Dying to your wants, dying to your desires, in order to edify a brother or sister and glorify God the Father. And in the process, by the Lord's mercies, you will love what you're doing. And John gets specific dito sa love na to, verse 17. Tingnan niyo. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Paano masasabi may pag-ibig yan sa Panginoon? Eh, hindi nga tumutulong yan. May kakayanan tumulong. I feel na medyo high-pitched si John dito. Verse 8, little children, and all of a sudden, biglang, he becomes fatherly. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Love doesn't just see the need ng kapatiran, mga kaibigan. They act on it. It's interesting, John addresses people who are able to help, who are financially stable, who are strong, who have a lot of resources para tulong, pero hindi tumutulong. He said, don't just see the need, don't just talk about yung need. Minsan magaling ta, minsan nung nakikita, narinig natin ating mga sarili, ay, kapatiran natin, ito ang problema, ang kapatiran natin, ito ang pangangailan. Tama na, gawan natin ang paraan. Stop talking about it. Stop noticing about it. Do something. Yun ang marka ng tunay na Kristiyano. Hindi ko sa kaklose. It doesn't matter. Tayo nga, hindi tayo kaklose ng Panginoon. Namatay sa atin eh. Kaaway tayo. Let's not just see and talk about the need. You were blessed for such a time as this to serve God's people. And so John wants to see love in action. A love to back up yung words. Do you love ang mga kapatiran sa Panginoon? Huwag lang huminto sa ating puso. Kung tunay na nasa puso, kailangan pong aksyonan. I could have imagined habang binabasa sa kanila itong liham na ito, yung mga listeners ng letter of 1 John, malamang nagsimula na nagmag-alala. Malamang kinabahan na po sila dahil siguro simulan nilang questionin ang kanilang pananampalataya. Teka, yan ba ang itsura ng Kristiyano? Naku, paano yan? Paano ko masasabi na ang tulong ko ay talagang genuine na love? Paano ko masasabi na na-exemplify ko yung pagmamahal na ito. So yun ang probably mapasok sa kanilang isipan. And that is yung second and last point natin. How do we know that we have loved in action and in truth? Or how do we know we have genuine love for others? How do we know we're doing it? Kasi malay mo, parang si Cain, ka-hipokrito. Paano ko malalaman yun? Eh kung hindi pala totoo yun, di baka hindi ako tunay na Kristiyano? And then John addressed, okay, listen, this is yung purpose kung bakit yung mga succeeding verses is to give you assurance. Verse 19 to 20, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. Verses 19 to 20, if I were to be honest, mahirap na verses interpret. Okay? Kasi it seems like unrelated itong topic na ito, verses 19 to 20, sa subject ng loving others. There are several interpretations of this passage, and it seems like, sinasabi nila, hindi related, some say it's related. Kaya there were several interpretations dito. But I believe verses 19 to 20 is related sa topic ng loving others. Hindi ilalagay yan ni John out of nowhere na biglang may pumasok na lang sa isip niya, okay nga pala. Hindi. It is a progression of thought. So verse 20, kung titignan po natin, it assumes na kahit ang mature na believer at times will be troubled by their consciences and doubt their salvation. Kahit mismo ang mature na mananampalataya sa Panginoon, darating sa kanyang buhay na pagdududahan niya ang kaligtasan niya. That's why John gives them two ways in which they can regain yung assurance. Number one, makikita niyo sa verse 19. Look, if they have evidences of love sa mga kapatid sa Panginoon, then that's a good mark. Yan yung kanina pa natin pinag-uusapan. Pero may second assurance ang manunulat. At kung ang, ito po yung mark na to. Kung ang marka ng tunay na mananampalataya ay love for other believers, then as they examine themselves and see na malaki din ang pagkukulang nila dito, they're not loving their brothers and sisters well, that they still fall short of God's requirements, sa pagmamahal sa ibang mga kapatiran, then this could cause their hearts to be troubled. Teka, kung ang marka ng tunay na Kristiyano ay pagmamahal sa iba, eh paano yan, hindi ako masyado nagmamahal? Baka hindi ako tunay na Kristiyano, yun po yung nangyayari dito. Ay teka, tumutulong naman ako, eh paano ko malalaman hindi pareho ni Kenya na kahipokrito ano, o masariling, sarili ko lang kapakanan? And then they started to become anxious and worried, Christian ba talaga ako? This is how John is addressing their hearts. Okay? And from there, he is saying, God is greater than their hearts. Mga kaibigan sa Panginoon, di ba totoo din sa atin ito? Kapag ini-examine natin ang ating buhay, ang ating pag-uugali, ang ating desisyon, and realize, teka, talaga bang Kristiyano ako? Di ba natatanong natin sa sarili natin yan? Ganito ako, hindi ako pareho ni brother ganyan. Ganito ako, hindi ako pareho ni sister ganyan. And we have decision making sa hindi ata makakristyano yung ginawa kong yun. Bakit nag-snap na naman ako ng temper? Ba't yun na naman ang litanya ko eh, galit. And from there, Kristiyano ba ako? This is what's going on here. Nagsisimula na sila magduda dahil they feel na they're not loving well. They're not loving right with the right motive. They're not loving eventually. They're young Christians. Dito pumapasok ang kagandahan ng verse 20. Tingnan niyo yung verse 20. God is greater than your heart. And He knows everything. God gives us the ultimate basis of assurance. In short, John is talking to them because he knows they're Christians. Nakita nila sa buhay at nakikita niya na nag-aalala itong mga ito dahil hindi nila nakikita masyado or hindi perfect yung kanilang pagmamahal. And John is saying, if nagdududa ka, kahit yung mga evidences then ay clear, God is greater than your heart. God gives us the ultimate basis of our assurance. Inyo, ano may assurance na yon? God Himself. God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything, including the sins of which we remain unaware. He has greater compassion. He has greater patience. He has greater generosity than us. God has a greater sacrifice compared sa kasalanan na ginawa po natin. He has a greater sacrifice, and that is Jesus. God still promises to receive us based on the righteousness of Christ, imputed righteousness. When our hearts condemn us, hindi ka talaga tunay na Kristiyano, tingnan mo yung buhay mo. God's promise to receive the repentant, humble person who trusts in Jesus alone is the ultimate source of assurance. If you're seeing marks of graces sa life mo na ikaw ay Kristiyano, and then this doubt starting to creep in, Kristiyano ba talaga ako? Ang sinasabi ho ni John, God's word is sufficient. Yung ginawa ng Panginoon, ang pangako na binigay niya, niligtas ka niya, is sufficient. Let me fuel that by quoting John 6:37-40. Babasahin ko po. All that the Father gives me, sabi ni Jesus, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should not lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Nagdududa ka ba sa pagiging Kristiyano mo? Ito panghawakan mo. Don't trust your feelings, trust God's promises. And if you're seeing marks, evidences of grace sa life mo, your wife is noticing, the church is noticing, the people na nakasama mo dati sa kamunduhan is noticing, then hold God's promise. Yun yung sinatabi. God's trustworthiness ay ang basihan ng ating assurance. It can never be separated from a life that is transformed, evidencing holiness. Kasi po, if we truly trust God, we will increasingly obey Him in love and in truth. As a result of hearts assured by God, John describes benefits. Dahil ang puso mo ay nagtitiwala, nakaangkla sa Panginoon, eto ang benefits dyan. Verses 21-22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Two things. Two benefits. if you continue to hold on and to trust in the promises of God in terms of salvation. One, we will experience confidence sa ating prayers. As we meditate on God's promises, we will grow in our confidence to draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and help in time of need, as you continue to trust Him. Second, as we draw near to the throne of God with confidence to ask help, dapat confident din tayo na ipagkakaloob niya whatever He asks of Him, we ask of Him. Nasa verse 22 po yun. So, teka muna po. So, tama ba yung nandiling ko pag nagtiwala lang ako sa Panginoon, kapag nagtiwala lang talaga ako, naniwala ako na ibibigay niya kahit anong panalangin ko? Ibibigay po niya, in-name it ko lang and claim it, yung ba yun? Well, yes. And no. Yes and no. No. Bakit no? Hindi lahat ng ibibigay, hindi lahat na ihihiling natin sa Panginoon, na ikiklaim natin sa Panginoon, ibibigay niya. Kasi ang ating mga panalangin ay makasalanan. Hindi lahat ng ating mga panalangin ay tama. Pangalawa, yes. If we ask anything according to His will, and the evidence that we are growing in our understanding of God's Word and His will, when we do what pleases Him, then exposing ourselves to God's Word, meditating on God's Word, living God's Word, will shape what? Our prayers. It will shape how we will ask our requests natin sa Panginoon. And once the Lord shapes our hearts, forming it pareho ng kanyang anak, we will technically ask the very things that God wants us to have. Isn't that beautiful? You are praying the very things that is in the heart of God. Of course, God will answer that. He will answer it in His own will, in His own time, in His own way. Again, John reminds his readers about the commandment in verse 23 that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. This is similar sa sinabi ni Jesus sa Mark 12:30-31, to love. When a lawyer asked Jesus Christ what is the most important commandment in the Bible, or in God's Word, sabi niya, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this, love others. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. Ito po yun. Yun ang sinasabi ni Jesus Christ dito. He strengthens their assurance na sila ay tunay na Kristiyano kapag patuloy nilang paniniwalaan at ginagampanan ito. So John assures the believer's faith if we keep His commands, if we live as His children, and if we have love for one another. Tapos sa verse 24 gives one more assurance. This is yung last assurance. Malalaman natin na nanahan ang Diyos sa atin, ang pagkilos ng banal na Espiritu. We know na nananahan ang Panginoon sa ating buhay kapag kumikilos ang banal na Espiritu sa ating buhay. So, paanong paraan natin malalaman ito, Pastor? Nananahan ang banal na Espiritu. Well, first of all, when there is increasing hatred over sin and growing love for Christ and holy living. Second, when we are convicted of sin and quick to repent. Anong justify? Third, when we display the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Fifth, when we are growing in our love and devotion to Christ's bride, the church. We know that the Spirit of God is working in us. Friends, do you love Jesus? Anyone would say yes. But here's the second question. Do you love Jesus' bride, the church? Do you love the brothers and sisters in Christ, the crossroads? Are you sacrificially serving them without expecting anything in return? Kasi kung ginawa ni Kristo yun, hindi natin kayang bayaran yun. If you do, that's assuring para sa akin. Kasi po, those who believe in God's Son, Jesus, love God's people, the church. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful sa inyo. Thank you for your great love for us, that you send your ultimate love, Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again so that we would be reconciled sa inyo. and so that we would be reconciled to one another. How wonderful that enemies have been reconciled to a holy, mighty God. And we are eternally, Father, grateful. Will you help us as a church to love those who are different from us? Help us as a church, as a crossroads, to love those who are hurting, to love those who are struggling, to love those who have disappointed us, to love those who have sinned against us, knowing that Jesus Christ has showed the ultimate love, that sacrificial love, so that the bride would be reconciled to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.